come for you. Falcons, what you gonna do? Browns, what you gonna do? Carolina, what you gonna do? Them Jags coming for you. Yeah, them taking Jags, here they come. You better run, Forrest, run. Because they're coming to your town. Big Cersei about to break you all down. All right, welcome back to the Locked On Jaguars podcast, part of the Locked On Sports Network. I am your host, Zach Goodall. You can follow me on Twitter at @Zach_Goodall. Be sure to follow my co-host, Chris Thornton, at @MistoCristofo. Subscribe on iTunes, and you can also find us on Spotify, Megaphone, and check out the website as well. We've got that up and running. We've had it going for a little bit, and it's starting to grow a lot. We got a lot of great writers, and we're bringing on some new guys, trying to bring you the best Jacksonville Jaguars content that you could find. I'll go ahead and throw it over to my co-host. Chris, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty well, you know. Didn't have to work tonight, so...
Yeah, more time to get ready for this pod. And we've got a couple of great guests coming on over the next couple of days. We are going to start with at NFL Film Study. Be sure to follow him. His name is Ian Wharton. He works for Bleacher Report. Ian, what's going on, man?
Hey, guys. Not much. Just, grinding away and, work never seems to end, even though we're in the off season. But I'm doing really well.
That's awesome. And yeah, that's right. Just keep grinding away. You've got a lot of work out there that the people, if they don't know about it, need to know about. So go ahead and give us a spill on some of the work you do.
Yeah. So right now, basically, we finished up the NFL 1000 project with Bleacher Report. I was responsible for the cornerbacks throughout the year and also looked at safeties. But especially towards like the end of the year when we actually graded guys and wrote them up, I focused on corners. I kind of taken that responsibility and kind of expanded on it, and over the last couple of years I've done my own charting for the position, and it's a little bit more of subjective charting, but also has more statistical implications as well, kind of tracking like off man and press man coverages and kind of seeing how well these corners stack up against each other. So I've kind of taken that work throughout the season, and I'm creating a book that's going to be just comprehensive across the league, over 100 corners total. I'll have all the stats for that. It's going to be dressed up pretty. And then also going to do a little bit of like a write-up for each player to kind of give a little bit of a breakdown of their skill set, as well as like how they performed last season, and try to project forward, kind of show like what did these numbers actually say. Do I agree with some of the numbers? Sometimes I don't always agree with the numbers, which creates an interesting aspect of it. But yeah, so I'm working on that. And then next month I'll be with BR again, covering free agency, doing a lot of stuff for them, just kind of reacting to the news as it happens.
Well, it's definitely something you guys are going to have to check out. I was telling Ian before the show, once that book is out, I'm going to be buying one. Looking forward to checking that out. We will go ahead and dive in to the Jaguars-related content of this episode. Ian, obviously working with cornerbacks, the Jaguars have a pretty great cornerback tandem in Jalen Ramsey and AJ Boye, as well as nickel corner Aaron Colvin. So we're going to go over each of those guys' seasons, what they've done well, what they might still need to improve on going forward, what they improved on the most, where they rank, if Ian has a set list on where he ranks his corners. And with Aaron Colvin, he is about to hit free agency if the Jaguars don't give him a deal, which reports from PFT, I think, said today that he won't be re-signing. Just kind of a thing that Jaguars fans have not known but guessed at for a while based on his market value. So what we could do after that is look at some guys in the draft who could be solid replacements for him. But we'll go ahead and start with the cornerback everyone knows, because not just from his on the field his talents, but also his smack talking, and everyone loves Jalen Ramsey. So Ian, what did you see in Jalen Ramsey's game from this year? What does he do great?
Yeah, so he's definitely one of the better all-around corners. I mean, that's not breaking news to anyone who's watched him for Bleacher Report. He graded, both he and AJ Bouye, both graded, I think, within like my top six corners in the NFL. And these guys were all just within like a couple of grading points, however we grade them, from within each other. And so it's really just a testament for Ramsey, especially coming in to Jacksonville a couple years ago with limited college experience, for him to kind of take that big step already in his second year. Because last year I thought as a rookie, we saw the athleticism, we saw the physicality, like the mindset was there. You could tell it was just a matter of time. Second year, he's really on like that superstar track, and I don't necessarily know that he's even close to his ceiling yet, because when we look back at last year, I thought that he got away this past season, so 2017, even if he took that step, one of those steps, I still think that there's another higher level that he can get to, because currently he's a very good press corner. Like if we start to dive into the numbers that I look at, he still ranked, didn't quite rank as high as maybe I would have graded him. So I had him around like the 20th or so press corner in the league. But the numbers were great. Like when he was targeted, offenses were barely being able to produce against him. Just for example, 27 targets in press man coverage, only 11 receptions. To me, 41% completion percentage. That really speaks to a guy that, one, was limiting targets. Like offenses, when he was in press coverage, understood that he was a threat. He was a threat not only to shut down the play, but also to make that turnover and force that turnover. And that sense of playmaking ability is really something that stands out the most with that athleticism, because there's so few guys that are a threat in both directions. Some guys are just great in coverage. Some guys can actually make the play on the ball. And I thought that this past year, what was most impressive, especially in comparison, and we'll get into Bouye, but like both are limited experience guys, but Ramsey's a guy who really avoids penalties better than almost any young corner in the NFL. He had zero penalties that I had charted in press coverage, and only one touchdown allowed. So he doesn't quite have that boom or bust factor that some other young cornerbacks have had in the past, and even in recent years that have had great seasons. Like even if we look at Marshawn Lattimore's season in 2017, he was phenomenal as a rookie, but there were also some games where like he had a couple blown coverages. And Ramsey is a guy who had about a similar experience as Lattimore, and he wasn't quite making those same mistakes. So like his bottom end play is still extremely high. And then we talked, and then kind of talked, touching on like what his potential ceiling is. It's like his ability to break on the ball, his ability to move with receivers, not lose track of them, even if he's not necessarily the most technically refined. You can see sometimes that he gets mentally, I think he gets a little bit ahead of himself sometimes, and he finds himself a little bit out of position, especially on like hard breaking in routes and hard breaking out routes, deep curls, also comeback routes. Sometimes he's not quite where he needs to be, but his ability to change directions and be able to see when he's making those mistakes is almost instantaneous, and his reaction time is just fantastic. Like he's really just like a freak athlete in the truest sense, and he pairs that with his mental ability better than most corners in the league. And so I think that when you look at that complete package, kind of comparing his press ability and also ability to play off ball, he's very similar in both regards. Like I would say he's above average, well above average in both, without being elite in either. And I think that you look at that physical skill set, you look at the mental skill set, and you say, okay, the more repetitions that he continues to get, the more snaps that he's going to continue to get, and especially with him being a guy who shadows top receivers, sometimes, not all the time, but most corners, there's almost no corner that does it all the time. Patrick Peterson's really the only guy that takes that challenge on every week. You look at that and you say, like, it's extremely impressive that he's even performing to the level that he is currently, but I still think that there's a higher level potential that we're going to see probably him hit over the next 2 or 3 years as again, a lot of it, I think, is repetitions. And usually that third to fourth season is when these guys take the biggest leap in their career. He may just be ahead of that curve just because of his natural talent, but I don't see a reason why to believe that we've already seen the best of what he can give.
As a Jaguars fan, that is very reassuring and exciting for the future. Let me tell you that right now. So we kind of touched on what he does great, and you kind of hinted at some things that he might need to improve on. But what would you say from your film watching and your expertise that would really help him take that next step and really something to improve on?
I think at times there's patience and his ability to initiate contact sometimes, and also let the route develop just a little bit more before he's willing to act. He doesn't really get beat deep too often on double moves. It's not like it's a discipline issue as far as he just wants to protect himself, wants to jump routes to make the big play. It's more of a patience issue where I think he sees what's about to happen, but you almost have to let it happen and act as you're the receiver. And I think that that's such a nuanced thing that sometimes that most guys really don't ever get. A guy like Xavier Rhodes finally got that over the last year or two. Darius Slay finally just got to that level where he saw what was happening, but you have to almost let the play happen first. You have to bait the quarterback into throwing that pass first. It's being aware on like a whole nother level, and I think that he shows it. It's just a matter of consistently doing it, and that's what really I think separates maybe like the top several guys in the league from where he is. Like I'd say he's definitely that type of talent. I think in terms of his nuance and his skill, he's not quite there, but he's definitely knocking on the door.
Now, when you look at his rookie film compared to what he did this past year, what did he most improve on in that time frame? Because there were a couple of more, if I remember correctly, discipline things that, being a rookie, that's going to happen, but the potential was there for him to grow. But what did you see the most growth in?
Yeah, definitely. I think looking at the line of scrimmage was almost impossible to overstate how effective he was this past season at jamming receivers, mirroring receivers. And that to me is a technique thing where I thought as a rookie, he was almost solely reliant on his physical gifts. We knew about the speed, we knew about how quickly he could change directions. But like this year, it was more of technique. It was more of understanding his balance and not getting out of position because he's playing too fast or trying to anticipate things just like most freak athletes do. Like a guy like Adoree Jackson, you see him playing and it's frenetic. Like he's all over the place. Even though he can be in position, he's like a jitterbug because he's just so athletic. It's hard for him to kind of anticipate what's happening and make it look smooth. Whereas Ramsey this year, especially compared to his rookie season, he looked a lot smoother this year. He looked more in control of his body. He looked more in control of the route. Even when he wasn't necessarily in great position, he still felt like a guy that if you target him, there's still a risk of something negative for the offense happening and creating a big play. And so I thought that it was a matter of understanding his own body and also kind of narrowing down on his weakness of, I think, just technique and being able to match the footwork with his brain. And I think that's still an area he can continue to get better in. But from year one to year two, I think that's definitely something that was huge in his success because it's really easy to just use your physicality at the line of scrimmage. But a lot of guys will enter the league and just use their entire body as like a force. And you'll see big jump steps into the receiver. He doesn't do that. Like he's very patient at the line, but he's still very effective with his strength. And I think that that helps him recover sometimes if he doesn't necessarily completely execute the press coverage, which is huge.
All right, so here is one of the big questions. Where does Jalen Ramsey rank amongst other NFL corners for you?
So in my data, he's not as high as I think he should be. Drawn out over the course of the season, I think he was probably overall, I think, in like the 15 to 20 range. My eye test doesn't say that. When I graded him in the top seven. And I think that when you're looking at the top seven or eight corners in the NFL, there's a great argument for every one of them being like a top three guy. And it really comes down to preference. I favor playmaking ability. The ability to play the ball, he's got that knack, and I think that that's more valuable than sometimes a pure cover corner. Marcus Peters I'm a huge fan of Marcus Peters for that reason, even though he's a very good cover corner. Ramsey has those same traits as far as being able to find the ball, play the ball, and create for his teammates. Sometimes it's not necessarily just an interception for him, but we saw it, especially against the Steelers, batting the ball into a teammate's hands. Like, that's otherworldly. Like that's an elite, truly elite skill in like the history of the NFL, and very few guys possess that. So for me, I think pure talent wise, I think you could definitely say he's top five. And then it's just a matter of arguing like what your preference is. Some guys prefer more of the technique guys. Some guys prefer more of the playmakers and are willing to kind of give up some bigger plays just to get that playmaking ability, but I have no qualms with saying top 5 to 7.
And speaking of of technique guys, that can kind of take us on to our next point of discussion, and that being the corner playing opposite of Ramsey and AJ Boye. For the NFL 1000, you're in Doug Farrar's rankings of cornerbacks for this year. You had him slightly over his teammate Jalen Ramsey. Ramsey at four, Boye at number one. I bring up a tech him being such a great technician because is it despite them both being, what seems like top tier cornerbacks, they seem to have such an opposite style of play and they complement each other so well. Boye being more of the technician, never seeming to get beat. What do you think AJ Boye does great, and how is it different from what Ramsey does?
I think you nailed it. He's not quite as much as the gifted athlete as Ramsey is, and therefore sometimes his margin for error is a little bit greater than, or I'm sorry, it's a little bit smaller than it was for Ramsey, where Ramsey can kind of make up for technique issues. I think Bouye at times, and this kind of led to some penalty issues throughout the year. He had four penalties in press alone, compared to Ramsey having zero. And so, like, I thought that that was more of an indictment of when he's out of position, it's more difficult for him to rebound. But the impressive thing with him is similar to Ramsey, he's a guy with limited playing time. It's not like Houston really developed him over the course of time. He was the fourth and fifth corner, and all of a sudden he had to play, and he played extremely well in that small sample size. And really, in his first full season as a potential alpha dog, he was phenomenal. I mean, like you said, he graded top overall for me. Now, you could have switched those guys up, but as long as he was within the top seven guys, I wouldn't have made a complaint at all. Bouye is a fantastic off-ball cornerback. He's a good press cornerback, had a little bit better numbers than Ramsey actually in press, targeted 35 times, which is more than Ramsey, and allowed only one more reception than Ramsey on the season. So he was just simply fantastic because of his ability to get into the chest of the receiver and be able to anticipate where routes are and be able to recognize routes very quickly. You can tell that both of them are strong as far as, I think, studying receivers' tendencies, picking up on tendencies, and being able to adjust very quickly mid-game to changes that receivers are making. But I think that Bouye has a little bit stronger of an understanding right now, and that might be because he is a little bit older and has been in the league a little bit longer. Not much longer, but a little bit. And you look at that off-ball, it's very difficult to be a great off-ball cornerback nowadays, but he was a premier one. So for me, he graded third overall as far as being in position on off-ball snaps. The statistics are fantastic on him. Again, it's very similar to his press numbers. Only 36% of targets were completed as an off-ball corner, which is insane. Like, that's among the top three in the NFL. So it's not only a matter of statistically subjectively, but also more a little bit more objectively, where it's just a hard data. He was all around one of the best players in the league in an alignment that is very unforgiving for cornerbacks who don't necessarily have great athleticism to break on the ball. It's not like he's a guy that's, a 4-3 guy with incredible quick twitch, traits. He's a guy with good overall athleticism, but really sees the plays quickly, develop quickly. And I think that he's a guy that, I talked about how Ramsey can kind of see the play happen before it actually happens. I think Bouye's already hit that stride where he is very instinctive as to what's happening, very in tune with the offense. And I thought that the Jaguars did a great job of mixing up their alignments to their strengths too. Like, Bouye was primarily an off-ball player, even though he did press quite a bit, and Ramsey was a little bit more of a press player, which makes a lot of sense considering how they play, but also their comfort level in both areas. So Bouye, to me, is just really one of the premier players at understanding what the offense is doing, and that power is kind of like a superpower when you kind of know what to expect just based off of situational play.
Now, when Bouye was signed to a mega cornerback deal, people were wondering, why is he getting this much money? Like, this is a lot of hype for a guy that, like, he never had a full season as a starter before, and a former undrafted guy. Where did he grow the most from his rotational role and somewhat starter role when Kevin Johnson went out for the Houston Texans in 2016 to his full-time starter role in Jacksonville?
So I still, I for him, it's going to be kind of similar. It's going to be the physicality. so even in limited playing time, you would see him get pretty grabby. He had a lot more penalties for the Texans, like on a per snap basis, than he did with the Jaguars. He did have the 4 penalties this past year, but that was really his only weakness. On deep balls, you could see if he loses a step, he's going to grab, which is normal. But he was a little bit more prone to that, and sometimes he wouldn't necessarily locate the ball. So I think just getting, you can just imagine like this past year's weaknesses. It was just on a higher level in 2016. Like that was just more exaggerated, where he would struggle and had to have the confidence to really look and try to find the ball and play the ball if he felt like he was even just a step behind the receiver. Whereas like he has the length and he has enough speed to be able to make up for those plays. And he can have those moments where he can break up a pass, even if he's not in perfect positioning. So I thought that he's a little bit more confident in those situations this year. I thought that the timing, as far as when he would engage a receiver, was much stronger. Like, you have to be very careful because it's difficult in the NFL. Like, after 5 yards, you have to be very selective when you're actually going to be physical. But there are ways that a savvy veteran can kind of get away from it, especially on hard-breaking routes. You can sort of get away with little tugs and pulls and kind of holding arms down a little bit. It came back to bite him a little bit against the Patriots late in the playoffs. But that's still quality play. Like, even if those were ticky-tack fouls, you kind of want to make the refs call those at times, because it will go 50-50 at times. And he was unfortunately the victim of those calls, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they weren't quality snaps by him. So I think that as he continues to get that experience, hopefully that's something he continues to work on and match as far as head step from the Texans 2016 to the Jaguars 2017. And I'd like to see the penalties come down a little bit more, but that's kind of comes with the territory, not only with the reputation of that back secondary now. They're known as a physical group, and they play very physically, both in their alignment and also in their coverage styles. So that's going to be – it's almost like what the Seattle Seahawks went through with their Legion of Boom. They kind of had, like, the same struggles. And eventually, though, if you keep at it, in general, the league will kind of adjust a little bit and understand that, like, okay, this is just how it is. We can't call a flag every play. So definitely major steps, but he was extremely impressive in those small sample sizes with Houston, which is why Jacksonville felt comfortable giving out that contract. And I was a big fan of that too. Like, it was definitely a risk, but I thought it was like a much safer risk than like compared to like Byron Maxwell a few years prior with the Eagles. Mm-hmm. Like there was no doubt to me that like Bouye was a better player than Maxwell was, even with like an 8 to 10 game sample size.
And kind of switching gears from guys who are going to be on the Jaguars for hopefully a long time, referencing Ramsey, hopefully he's signed to a huge deal in a few years, to a guy that is currently slated to be leaving the Jaguars secondary in Aaron Colvin, a guy who you are personally not too high on, what you've said on Twitter, which is understandable. But what are some things that Colvin does do well for the Jaguars?
Yeah, so you know, it's difficult with the slot position. You know, I like to say that it's extremely difficult to find a real difference maker at the position, and that's why I look at the position as like, if you're not one of the top 6 or 7 guys, you're pretty much just replaceable, because the role is very limited. You're asked to do a very specific thing. You're generally only working between the boundary numbers and maybe the middle of the field. And so that's not a huge area of responsibility. And that's what makes it a tough position to actually stand out in, because you don't have a huge responsibility. So it's not like you're going to be freelancing a lot and you're not really gravitating toward the ball too much. But it takes a very special skill set and feel for the game, I think, to capitalize on those few opportunities that you actually get. And Colvin hasn't really been that guy. He's not a guy that really forces turnovers, but he is a guy that does his role very well. So what he is asked to do, being a quality run defender, being aggressive at the line of scrimmage, being able to blitz a little bit and at least threaten the offense, able to jam receivers, he's able to work well with safeties and linebackers. He's not a guy who's going to get lost in coverage and kind of look around and point the finger if he blew the coverage. He's very predictably going to be with his man and at least in the general area. And so even though if he's not a dynamic talent and he's not a guy who's like a lockdown slot player, he at least brings value to a defense, I think, on a year-to-year basis if you kind of approach it as like we could upgrade the position. If we could, you know, if we can upgrade the position, we will. But he's at least the guy that we're content moving forward with. I think he's going to probably be priced out of what that definition means. I don't know that that's incredibly valuable to a team that has already wrapped up a lot of money throughout the rest of their defense and even the rest of the roster, but especially throughout the rest of the defense. Like, he's probably the 10th or 11th best starter on that defense as far as creating an impact. And so even though he's a coach's dream in terms of reliability, he's not necessarily a guy that you are beating down the wall to keep because the value of that is just capped at some point.
So what are some things that Colvin could do to really kind of improve on to maybe help his game go to the next level?
And if you don't mind, before you answer that, I'd like to add in whether that be at the nickel corner or the rumor is that he wants outside playing time. So what you see in him as a nickel corner and what he can improve on to then move to the boundary.
Yeah, that's a good question. So when he was coming out of Oklahoma, I actually thought he could play outside a little bit as an off-ball corner specifically, a zone off-ball, almost like that Tampa 2 type of defensive back, which we don't see a ton of nowadays, but we do. You can see it in spurts, especially as like a rotational player. I don't know that he has the physical skill set for that at this point, at least to be like a really someone that you are, feel comfortable with as like a multi-year starter projecting. And part of that is the instinct to find the ball. You guys saw it in 2016 with Prince Amukamara. It's challenging with certain corners that don't play the ball at all and who just don't really have a feel for the ball. Ultimately, their upside is capped a little bit, and it's difficult to feel like you're getting a real impact from that player. And so Colvin already struggles with that in the slot, which in theory should be a little bit easier for him because he's always facing the quarterback. He's always working downhill. Now, he is a great tackler, and that definitely helps, but for me, what I'd like to see out of him is be able to anticipate routes a little bit better, get a little bit quicker in and out of his breaks so he can actually cut underneath routes and be able to understand where he can be at and still execute undercutting routes to break up passes. Because right now, I don't really think that he has that feel. I think it's more of a reactionary, all right, I'm in coverage, I've given a little bit too much space, and now I just have to finish the play and I have to tackle. Whereas I'd like to see him be a little bit more of a playmaker, be a little bit more dynamic. Moving outside, I don't think that becomes any easier. I think that becomes more difficult because the route variety is going to be more difficult. You're going to get less help. You're a little bit more on an island. You're not going to necessarily have the linebacker help. You may have the safety help, which is great, but it's not. He's not like a true burner. He's not a guy that's super twitchy, and I just don't know that he has the frame or really the feel for the game to overcome those limitations. Like, it's just, it's very difficult to survive on the outside, and for me, that's why he's always been in the slot. So I'm going to be surprised if someone really gives him a major opportunity to move outside.
Now, this free agency class, in terms of corner, is not the strongest as we've seen. What do you believe his market is right now, and what do you think are some of maybe the best teams that he could land with to really maximize?
Yeah, so it's a pretty good slot corner free agency right now. We'll see how that ends up turning out, and I'm also kind of assuming that Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie, I could potentially see him being cut, and if he's cut, that just makes it deeper. But most of the guys are going to be older. So, like, Patrick Robinson is older. Nickell Robey-Coleman, he's not an older guy, but he's a very limited size guy. And so some teams will just have no interest in him just based on that. And so I think they're going to kind of settle on Colvin as possibly being the best long-term investment at the slot position. And it doesn't really seem like a great slot draft class, at least compared to the last couple of years. So that may be a robust market for him. What becomes difficult for him, I think, is that there aren't a ton of teams with a lot of cap space that necessarily need a slot corner that pressingly. Like, there are a couple I would talk about, maybe like the Jets. The Jets would be an interesting landing spot with him. They invested in Buster Skrine a few years ago. Skrine was kind of similar. He wanted to play outside. He's been a disaster outside when they've had to play him outside. They move him back into the slot, and he's still a guy. He's not as good as Colvin even. He's well below average, I think, in the both positions, outside and inside. But they've got a ton of cap space. They could potentially look for him. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I could see being a landing spot. They need to overhaul their secondary completely. Their question is going to be whether they realize that Vernon Hargreaves is more of a slot than he is an outside corner, because it has not worked for him as an outside guy. I think that they should be able to fill that role internally, but maybe they still want to give Hargreaves one more year outside. And if they do, then that would take a suitor off his list. So then it really just comes down to some of like the teams in like the middle as far as the salary cap, like Chicago Bears. Do they want to continue to invest in Bryce Callahan? I think Callahan's kind of similar to Colvin as far as like they don't really impact the game too much, but they're more of good depth pieces. They're more of rotational players, a guy that executes their role pretty well. But they still may view Colvin as an upgrade, and I probably would as well, because Colvin's been a little bit more durable once he's been in the league than Callahan has, for sure. And I think I would probably look at like the Buffalo Bills as well. I think the Bills could really upgrade from Leonard Johnson, especially in a corner-friendly scheme like they run. We saw EJ Gaines last year have a big year, even as an outside guy, but he's kind of a journeyman himself, and so I think you could see Colvin go there, maybe get an opportunity outside as like a Tampa 2 cover corner, cover 2 type of corner. If he's going to play outside, that could be a fit. Even if he plays inside, that would be a massive upgrade for them, even in the slot.
And then we'll kind of wrap it up with this. I know you've been a lot more focused on NFL corners at this point. You mentioned you're going to get into the draft in a little bit. But who are some guys in this draft that they may not be like the number one corner out there, like Jaire Alexander getting the hype he's getting, Josh Jackson, some other guys. But who are some guys you could see as fits in Jacksonville as a replacement for Colvin, assuming he does hit the market and signs elsewhere?
Yeah, so a guy that I've been having my eye on for a couple years, I think he's going to be an impressive slot guy, is MJ Stewart out of North Carolina. I don't know that he's going to really measure as well as maybe as he's listed. I know he's listed around like 6 foot, 200 pounds. Like, I don't know that he's that big, that long, but even if he's not, to me, he's the quintessential type of slot corner. He's kind of similar to like that Colvin mold as far as being tough-minded, very willing to play the run. You can see that he benefited from playing outside and inside in college, which is great. Hopefully his transition should be relatively easy because of that. Very physical at the line in coverage. He disrupts plays quickly, which is great. He's not a guy who is hidden because he was playing off ball constantly. Like, that's always a tell for me that there are potential issues. If a guy's constantly lining up 8 yards off the line of scrimmage in college, really don't want to see that. Like, I want to see a guy actually be able to turn and move and show that next level athleticism. He's not a guy that has that great twitch. I don't know that he's a tremendous playmaker at the position necessarily, but as a replacement for Colvin, I'd rather pay MJ Stewart, the cost of a second or third round pick, probably like a third round pick, than I would Colvin, like $5 or $6 million a year. I just think for asset management, it just makes more sense. I'd also look at Duke Dawson out of Florida. You're probably getting him, maybe a couple rounds later, maybe third, fourth round, maybe even a little bit later than that. Again, not physically overly gifted. He's a guy who's a little bit thicker. Again, strength is going to be his game. He's going to be a guy that's going to be imposing. He's almost like a hybrid type of safety, traditional strong safety type slot corner, which is great. That's what is needed now in the NFL, especially as far as being able to downsize at the linebacker position and having speed on the field. And so I think he's a guy that could be a pretty good value on early day three for the Jaguars if they're not able to land a little bit of a bigger prospect earlier. And he may not be a star ever, but for that type of expectation, if you can get a rotational player, even like a nickel starter in that type of range on that type of team, that's a really good value.
Yeah, you listed off my two favorite guys to replace Aaron Colvin at that nickel spot.
Yeah, yeah. I haven't watched MJ Stewart, and now I know what I'm going to be doing tonight. But I am a fan of Duke Dawson as well. That's someone I was hoping you were going to mention.
Yeah, it doesn't. You know, I thought last year there were probably more quality slot options this year than this year, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be a position that you have to reach for, because I think that slot receiver and slot corner tend to be pretty undervalued positions in the draft, and we see quality players go there. I mean, Desmond King, I wasn't a huge Desmond King fan, but in the fifth round last year to the Chargers, well, I was absolutely a fan of that. Like, you know, you start to get to like day three, and it's like you're getting a guy who logs 600, 700 snaps for you and doesn't make major mistakes. That's a win. Like, that's a great third or fourth or fifth round pick, and that's a huge home run, even if they're not superstars. And so I just try to look at things through that positional lens. It's hard to find Chris Harris. It's hard to find, you know, Quandre Diggs, who took years to develop for Detroit. They were on the verge of giving up on him, and he finally has a breakout season. So, like, sometimes you just kind of got to, like, ride the wave a little bit and be willing to accept role players at that position and hope that they can blossom into more. And I mean, the Jaguars aren't a team that really needs more from the position. So, like I said, spending a third, fourth, fifth round pick, allocating less than $1 million a year to a guy who can execute like that is just a better value.
I'm actually incredibly appreciative that you just, that last segment you just gave us, because I've seen a lot of people say, oh, what if Derwin James fell and we took him as a, you'd plug him in at nickel corner, move him to safety, or Alexander, or first round corner for that matter. And like you said earlier, like Colvin right now might be the 10th or best or 11th best player on the defense, and yet he still fills his role very well. So why reach that high for a position when you could find those MJ Stewart's or those Duke Dawson's later on for the value that you mentioned?
Yeah, and it's tough, because then that's where like the roster building comes. It's like you can only allocate so many assets to every position and every positional group. You guys mentioned, like, when Ramsey's up for an extension, I'm sure he's going to get a giant extension. It's like you have to keep that in mind. The safety position, both guys are invested into. Now they can get out of those contracts because they've done a great job of structuring contracts, but like spending a first round pick on another defensive back is just, it's difficult. It's a lot of assets to put into something, especially when the offense can maybe use it, or even like the front seven, whatever you want to bolster depth into. It's just, it's hard when the guys getting paid are trench players and quarterbacks, not necessarily linebackers, safeties. You know, allocating money to those positions isn't always the best way, and it's a hard way to look at that, because you want to be best player available, you want to be best talent available, and you guys, I'm sure you guys talked about this with Leonard Fournette, it's almost hard to justify that high of a pick sometimes on that position because of the value of the contract. You're not saving money in the first round, which is the whole point of the draft and using the draft to the maximum resources is getting the most out of guys on the rookie contracts.
Exactly. And unless Chris has anything else he wants to throw in, I'd say that'll pretty much wrap it up. Chris, you got anything?
No, you kept me pretty content at MJ Stewart and Duke Dawson there at the end.
Awesome. Well, then that should just about do it for us here at Locked On Jaguars. Be sure to follow Ian at NFL Film Study. Be sure to check out all his work and his book that'll be coming out soon. Ian, thank you so much for coming on. It was a great time.
Hey, thanks, guys. I really appreciate it.
And be sure, like I said earlier, check us out on iTunes, Spotify, Megaphone.fm. You can subscribe there, leave ratings, reviews, let us know what we're doing great, what we need to improve on. Check out the site. A lot of great content being pumped out there. A lot of free agency stuff, draft profiles. You know, you want it, we've got it. Just be sure to send us notes, and we can make sure we can get the content rolling for you guys. Tomorrow we are going to be joined by NFL reporter Ben Albright to talk up a Jaguars ideal free agency plan, how they can, you know, go into free agency, what they can do with some guys that are impending free agents, who they can target, all that. A lot of great stuff coming your way. We will catch up with you tomorrow.